Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Hang around to hear four fascinating news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Our stories this time are about the first carbon dating of Paleolithic cave paintings in France, thousands of inscribed potsherds found in Egypt, parrot feathers on the Peruvian coast far from where parrots originate, and what is now Europe's oldest known handgun. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in September 2026 with our tour of Scotland's most important megalithic sites, including those in the Orkney Islands and the Outer Hebrides. Registration is now open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 8th through the 14th, 2026. We begin this week in southwestern France, where archaeologists have assessed the age of a set of Paleolithic cave paintings for the first time. As reported by Phys.org, the Dordogne region is home to Font de Gaume, a cave with numerous prehistoric paintings. Prior to this study, archaeologists had made only broad predictions as to the age of the artworks. The cave is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Researchers had not previously attempted to date these artworks, as it was believed their pigments contained only iron and manganese oxides. This ruled out carbon dating as a method of analysis. However, the absence of carbon in the pigments was not definitively proven. To finally assess the presence of carbon, a team led by a researcher from the French National Center for Scientific Research used two non-invasive techniques, Raman spectroscopy and hyperspectral imaging, to examine the chemical composition of two artworks. As the authors detailed in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, these tests indicated traces of charcoal in the pigment used to draw a bison and a mask. Charcoal also appeared in other figures. This pointed to its intentional inclusion by the original painters, rather than contamination from graffiti or tourists. The team collected microsamples of the pigments to use for the first carbon-14 dating of these paintings. The test dated the artworks to the Upper Paleolithic, a slightly more recent period than what archaeologists had previously estimated. In particular, the bison painting dated to a little over 13,000 years ago. Different sections of the mask yielded dates just under 9,000 and between 15,000 and 16,000 years ago. Going forward, the research team is looking to directly date other Paleolithic works in the region, thereby opening the door to a greater understanding of cave art and its creators. Next, we visit Egypt, where archaeologists are documenting thousands of written artifacts spanning 14 centuries of ancient history. As reported by Phys.org, a collaborative team of archaeologists from the University of Tübingen and the Egyptian Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities has worked since 2005 to excavate the Upper Egypt site of Athribis. They have recovered more than 43,000 ostraca over the last two decades. Ostraca are pottery sherds used informally as a writing surface for notes or school exercises. Nearly all of these artifacts came to light within the last 8 years. In 2018, the team opened up an area west of the Temple of Ptolemy XII for excavation. The work yielded a large-scale deposit of ceramics and led to additional discoveries close by. Notably, researchers located mud brick buildings, living quarters, and storage structures. Archaeologists expanded the 40-by-4-meter site about 3 years ago, bringing the team additional significant returns. Workers began recovering anywhere from 50 to 100 sherds a day, ending up with about 40,000 ostraca from this location alone. Athrebis now ranks as the source for most Egyptian ostraca, exceeding Deir el-Medina, an ancient workers' village within the Valley of the Kings. According to Christian Leitz, professor at the University of Tübingen and co-leader of the study, the wide variety of writings among these artifacts provides us with a comprehensive social history of the region. The earliest writings from the collection are tax receipts from the 3rd century BC. They are written in Demotic script, which was commonly used for administrative purposes during the Ptolemaic and Roman periods. In addition to Demotic, a considerable number of inscriptions are in Greek, a few use hieroglyphics, and the hieratic, Coptic, and Arabic scripts are also represented. The most recent ostraca feature Arabic inscriptions on vessels that date from the 9th to 11th centuries AD. A small but significant group features figurative and geometric designs. Athrebis is also the world's most prolific site for Demotic hieratic horoscopes, yielding 130 artifacts of this kind so far. These texts are important sources for the study of ancient astrology. According to Leitz, the team will continue its work of locating and documenting more of these sherds. The process presents additional challenges, however, as it requires specialized equipment, a high computing capacity, and specially trained staff to 3D scan and digitize the ostraca. We now visit the Peruvian coast, where archaeologists are drawing new conclusions about links between pre-Hispanic societies through their study of a batch of ancient parrot feathers. As reported by Science News, the team recovered the feathers from Pachacamac, one of the key religious centers among the Andean civilizations. Team members identified four parrot species in the batch: the scarlet macaw, the blue and yellow macaw, the red and green macaw, and the mealy Amazon. Notably, the excavation site is hundreds of kilometers from these species' native rainforest habitats. Dr. George Ola, an ecologist and archaeologist at the Australian National University and King's College London, led the research, which focuses in part on how these feathers ended up on the other side of the Andes. As detailed in the journal Nature Communications, the researchers utilized ancient DNA sequencing, isotope chemistry, and computational landscape modeling to determine how these birds were transported across the region. Their models support the hypothesis that the birds were transported by humans rather than flying of their own volition. These species are naturally rainforest dwellers, and even a millennium ago, the climate on the western side of the Andes would have been inhospitable for them. The team also examined chemical signatures in the assemblage. They noted that the birds' diets likely shifted to consist mainly of C4 plants, specialized plants such as maize, and marine protein, which thrive in hot, dry environments. This would have been the same nitrogen-rich diet their captors ate, a key point of evidence that they kept the birds alive after the Andes crossing. These four species were prized for their vibrant feathers, which pre-Hispanic societies often used in ritual and high-status burial contexts. Via landscape modeling, the team identified probable mountain and river routes that the individuals may have used to transport the birds. Their travel through the high mountain passes likely spanned weeks or even months. Despite the difficulty of the journey, the birds were cared for and kept alive long enough for them to grow new feathers in their new coastal home. According to Dr. Ola, the findings challenge previous assumptions that pre-Inca societies were isolated. The birds' journeys paint a different picture, one of organized exchange, ecological knowledge, and logistical planning linking distinctly different environments long before roads. Finally, we visit northeastern Germany, where archaeologists are analyzing a recently unearthed artifact that could be from Europe's oldest known portable gunpowder weapon. As reported by Live Science, a team of archaeologists conducted a field survey near Kletzky Castle in Brandenburg in 2023. During that time, Matthias Dasse, a volunteer heritage conservationist, found the fragments whose origins surprised the group. Gordon Thalmann, head of the Lower Monument Protection Authority of Prignitz, identified a 2-inch bronze casting as the barrel of an early handgun. The researchers have given the artifact the nickname Kletzker Handrohr, which translates to Kletzke hand cannon. Given the location it laid in for centuries, the team posits that the weapon may have been used in the widely known siege of Kletzke Castle in 1390. Hundreds of soldiers clashed during this battle, the focal point of a wider regional conflict in Brandenburg. According to Christoph Krauskopf, head of the Brandenburg State Office for Heritage Management and Archaeological State Museum, the hand cannon was likely brought in by outside attackers, rather than being of local origin. The Tannenberg rifle, which dates to 1399, was previously the oldest identified handheld European firearm. If archaeologists can confirm the connection between the Kletzke hand cannon and the castle siege, it will be a likely indicator that portable firearms were in use across late medieval Europe for warfare earlier than historians had previously thought. The world's oldest confirmed surviving firearm is the Heilongjiang hand cannon, a bronze weapon from China, manufactured no later than 1288. According to Krauskopf, this is the earliest archaeological evidence of firearm use in Brandenburg. The team plans to continue their work to bring more of the Kletzke Castle's history to light. Town authorities are developing plans for bringing archaeological tourism to the Kletzke site, and Krauskopf is set to conduct further analysis of the hand cannon fragments. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.